these numbers is Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good morning to you, Jackie. Just in about a week, we'll talk about the USDA crop production numbers that are being gathered and tallied up. I take it you've probably been looking forward to that event. What should farmers have in the back of their mind as we move towards that August crop production report?
I think one of the main things that we have to keep in mind is that we have seen some numbers already come out. In other words, FC Stone came out yesterday at 165, but only a 13.38 crop. So they're looking at a lower harvested acreage number. They came in at 45 on beans. Doan's came in at 163.3, 44.2 on beans. And today we'll have Informer coming out at 10:30. So I think that the thing that a farmer has to recognize or a producer has to recognize is that the numbers will have to be significantly lower than this in order to have a big impact on the trade, you know, because all of this will already be traded into the market. Now, you can tell they don't take FC Stone very seriously. The Doan's numbers, we're only up just a small amount on corn today. We're up a little bit better on beans. But I think that's the big thing. Futures it's called the futures market for a reason. It's already trading the future before we ever get there. And so I think that if we do get a nice run-up, what I think a farmer should have to do is make sure that he's got himself either make some sales on a nice run-up, and or if the cash market doesn't look good to him, you know, get himself some coverage, because you just don't know what USDA is going to do.
Now, you're talking on a new crop or old and new crop, both?
Both. The thing that concerns me, Todd, especially on the corn crop, is, and I think it's what's dogging corn, is we've only shipped 1.61 billion bushels of corn so far. You know, we're supposed to have 1.85 out before the end of this month. That means we have 57.8 million per week, and we haven't ever gotten even close to that so far. So you know, if a person visualizes it in your mind this way, if we add 50 million bushels back to the carryout, that's the equivalent of just wiping out 307,000 acres of 163 bushel corn. You know, everybody's so focused on the yield, the acreage, but we have to be focused on what about our demand and what happens to us if we don't make the goals. You know, so I think it's likely that we'll see the USDA actually drop the goal for our exports. I can't see how they can't. But you never know. And so that's something that we have to keep in the front of our minds, especially guys with old crop.
Right. So what is it that's behind the move in the soybeans this morning? Because it was up 9 to 10 cents earlier on.
Yeah, well, I think it's moving primarily because they're trading. I mean, they're trading anything they could possibly trade, and they're talking about maybe a little drier weather now in August, you know, and I think that's bringing out, and also I believe there's posturing going on. You know, I think we're trying to consolidate ahead of this report, and they're waiting for, you know, they're betting on the idea that Informa is going to drop bean acres even more than what they did last month. And so I think another thing that's supporting things this morning is wheat, and that's primarily because we saw Russia come out and say that they're going to revise the way that they're going to figure out the tax.
Yes, the tariff.
On this export tax, right. And so I think there's a bit of hope there that they're still going to put this tax in place, and then that maybe we become a little more competitive. You know, I don't know. But, you know, the trade is the trade. And, of course, you know, you and I have talked before. The black boxes look at headlines, and that's what they trade. And, you know, the China stock market's a little more quiet today. We'll talk about that in the closing market report. They've done some very interesting things, which are really, really amazing.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
I take it you've been watching all of that. Puerto Rico, Greece, China, still
yeah.
All. I mean, they don't come out of trouble. They sort of go out of vogue, relatively speaking. But
yep.
they all remain in trouble, and they all remain financially in trouble. And it's a global economic situation that we do have to keep track
yep.
of. And I'm certain that you watch it every day.
Oh, you bet. And I mean, you know, it was shocking to see Puerto Rico. And what's even worse is, of course, you know, here we are poised to raise interest rates. And who does Puerto Rico, you know, they're one of our, what do you call it, sovereign nation? I can't remember what it's called, but territories.
Correct.
And so, you know, it's a situation where you can't tell me they're not going to turn to us. I mean, they're defaulting. I mean, my goodness, how did this happen? You know, we haven't heard about any of it. It's been always in the background all the time. Nobody, you know, and nobody paid any attention. And all of a sudden, here we are with a country that's a territory of ours that's defaulting. Now, come on. And so, you know, yes, you're right. It's a global situation, and we cannot ever underestimate the impact that that can have on us, because we are part of the global economy.
Do you suppose that moving forward from this point, that corn or soybeans has, relatively speaking, knowing what you do today, more upside potential?
Oh, I think that I think the upside potential, I think, is going to be very limited.
I said upside potential, but how much downside? I mean, we're here at what, in December corn at 382.5? Can there be very much downside potential?
I think there could be. I could see easily in the doldrums, you know, and depending upon what we come in with on this USDA report, that'll set the tone. If the USDA report doesn't really make any changes on or very few changes on the corn, and let's say we do come in with a higher carryout on old crop because we don't make the export number, I think we could test the 362.5 again just from a technical standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Will it stay there? I don't necessarily think it'll stay there. But I do think the upside is limited, and it's primarily because, you know, this was a wet weather rally, not a drought. And therefore, they're going to be more interested in waiting to see what's happening. You know, this August report is just an ear count report. The September report will tell us a lot more. You know, then they're going to do kernel counts, and I guess they probably will do kernel counts if the corn is mature enough. So in some areas, they'll probably be able to find corn that's mature enough. But it's going to be interesting to see what kind of ear weights we look at, you know, and all of those things. But I do think from a downside, 20 cents on corn, I think we could go to $9 on beans. I don't see any reason why that can't happen, especially, you know, the truth is we have to ship 8.9 million bushels of beans to get to our target. And we haven't been doing that. We've only been shipping 5.5, mostly because China's buying out of South America, you know. So in the next 3 weeks, if we don't giddy up and go, we mean, you know, everybody would jump up and down. Yeah, you know, Dan Zwicker.
Yeah, I know.
I realized it as soon as I said it. Anyway, you know, if we don't do that, we might not even make our export number for beans. And, you know, everybody was, oh, we're way ahead. Yeah. You can't look at the sales. You've got to look at what's shipped.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.